This episode's sponsored by Good Ranchers. Most people don't realize this, but over 85% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is actually imported from overseas. It's a system that often pushes out American farmers and ranchers. That's why it matters to be intentional about where you buy your meat. That's why I choose Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers connects you directly with local American farms and ranches. 100% American meat, pasture-raised, no antibiotics, no added hormones. Delivered straight to your door. Make the switch to better meat. Go to goodranchers.com to start your plan and get premium American meat delivered right to your door. That's goodranchers.com. American meat delivered.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Our final hour this morning, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Have you guys seen the play in the Mexican League game? Runner on third, less than two outs. Ground ball to third. He drops it, picks it up, throws home. Get in a rundown and tags him out. The third baseman tags him out. And it looked like he tagged him probably around the face. And immediately the runner just went boom, boom, knocked him out, knocked him down. Two really good punches. You don't see baseball fights. You don't see this. I mean, where guys get and then after he knocks out the third baseman, he's backing up and he gets clotheslined.
Where was this?
This is in the Mexican League game. It is awesome. And then he gets clotheslined and he's on the ground for a while. And they're kicking him and stomping him. This is a real fight. This ain't a baseball. He was on the ground for a while, too, and he was getting kicked and stomped. It was awesome.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mexican League baseball fight should be it, right?
Yes. It is fantastic. It is. I think you should have been in on the post.
A massive brawl broke out during a Mexican League game.
Oh, yeah. Art sent it to us. It's in your notifications.
I'm officially watching.
Yeah.
There's the rundown.
Uh-oh. We got
good
breaking news.
Good Lord. He got punched for tag. Where did he tag him? What happened?
He looked like he tagged him around the face, and then
guy was ready to punch. I know that much.
Yeah, he was ready, boy. He got tagged, and it was
that
a
right
combo.
Hand
boom,
was
boom, boom.
Absolute. Ooh, and then the kick.
Well, wait. Then the kick.
Oh, and then the guy coming from behind with the
hammer
to the back of his head.
Clotheslined him.
Oh man, yeah.
And he's on the ground for a while, and they're stomping.
Keep your head on a swivel in this one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Is this Luis Arraez?
No, it is not.
Okay, Luis Arraez got traded to Philly, by the way.
And so did former Astro, former Aggie, or I guess you're always an Aggie, Brooks Raley, who doesn't have a great record, but a good ERA. He is going to the Phillies as they load up. Soriano traded to the Blue Jays, so they trade Gausman and acquire Soriano.
Okay.
We remain waiting.
Three-time batting champ arise.
We remain waiting for the Astros to make a move, as some of the people who believe they have a shot to go do something are busy so far this morning.
Yeah, we haven't been real busy. We have been not really doing anything, our team. I don't know that I'm pretty sure they might have to trade somebody on the active roster to do anything because they're near the tax threshold. So that might be what is hindering the Astros' ability to make or Dana's ability to make a move.
Chandler Rome has an article where there you won't be moving anyone on the active, but on the 40-man you could see some guys out the door. But according to Rome, what he's heard is anyone who plays ain't going nowhere.
Well, if the Brian Abreu story is real, then that's inaccurate.
Well, Brian Abreu did not move.
Well, Brian, you're right. He didn't move, so maybe that's why he's saying that. But, yeah, I mean, Chandler Rome's in on the inside of it. He knows a hell of a lot more, but it would seem to me, because of the tax implications, that may be something that's hindering anything being done. Yeah, so today's the deadline. Got to get it done by, 3 o'clock today?
Yeah.
Yep. Got to get something done by 3 o'clock. I don't even know that they have to get something done, if you want to know the truth. I certainly don't want to give up any prospects. If there was a really crappy player that they can get rid of that's on the roster right now, that's fine.
Yeah, that means you're just going to add just a guy. And more than likely, they always were going to add just a guy.
Yeah. I mean, what are you looking for? Tariq Skubal? He's already taken.
No, it's not going to be. And you're right. You know, you have guys who – it's funny. You would think Lamont Wade, seeing his name, it seems like you turn on the TV and Lamont Wade is scoring a run or making a play. And, Lamont Wade is actually putting together a pretty good year.
Have you seen him with the bases loaded?
It's not great.
Oh, no, it's excellent. He's batting 1,000.
Well, the other day he had a hit, but he's hit for the year.
He's 4-for-4 with 2 walks.
Wait a minute. Lamont Wade is?
And he's got 10 RBIs with the bases loaded, yes.
So that's all he's doing is hitting when the bases are loaded.
Yeah.
Because he's hitting .197 for the year.
Yeah, but he's with the bases loaded, he's the guy you wanted to play. As a matter of fact, he pinch hit yesterday or the day before with the bases loaded. And hit an infield single that scored a run.
Did you? I'm watching his latest bases loaded at bat.
Yeah, he's got 3,000.
That ball didn't get out of the. You're right. He's 4-for-4, but the latest one didn't get out of the infield. Just the pitcher didn't get over.
Yeah.
And it was put in the right spot. The Astros scored a run. Yeah, he's hitting under 200.
With men in scoring position, he's hitting .412.
So as long as people are on base, Lamont Wade is golden.
Lamont Wade 7-17 with men in scoring position. Well, that's what it feels like. It feels like every time I'm watching him, he's scoring a run or not going to run in.
He's got
at critical times, and then I look like wow. I mean the numbers don't match.
Well,
that,
that's
but
because
like
he only has 6 other
better hits.
The 7 out of 17, and then he's got 6 other hits.
He's 5-for-40 with nobody on. He's hitting .125 with nobody on.
Well, see, he can't focus.
Yep.
So you only bring him up when you got people on base.
You know, and Cam Smith has been during this little run. Cam Smith's had some nice hits, and some positive plays that have helped lead to victory. But you know, once again, that's one really where you have to throw away the season numbers. They're irrelevant to what's happening right now for Cam Smith. Jeremy Pena is just killing. I mean, he's an absolute monster right now.
Jeremy Pena is unbelievable. He is so on fire. Holy crap.
Another home run over the weekend. He's up to 13 bombs. I remember he had 4 when this whole thing started, when he started to get on a little bit of a tear.
Lance, I think what the Rangers, they're reported to be doing is something you would back. Because what? Rosenthal posted or something over the weekend that said, the Rangers, depending on the result of the Sunday game, yesterday's game, may look to sell. They are looking at themselves going, we ain't good enough. Let's pack this thing up. We're only 2.5 out. Sure, we had a rough
made
weekend
it easier
series.
For them to get swept, yeah, but so they could be honest.
But
with
you
themselves.
Can't imagine that it was just simply the series. They probably already had a thought in their mind that we ain't good enough. And the Astros taking them apart just even cemented it that
made it
you know
easier.
What? What's the point?
For what? What are we doing? We'll chase the Astros, and even if we win, then what's going to happen?
Yeah, no.
We'll get slaughtered.
The Rangers are selling right now.
Yeah. That's what getting swept was probably. I bet you there's some people in the front office who thought, this is a blessing in disguise. We got to make moves. We need it because it's harder to sell to your public. If you're up by a game and a half, and you're selling, even though you're at a 500, it's so much easier when you get swept and you're back 2.5 and you say, okay, good. We know we're not good enough to compete. We can sell off, and we're not going to take as much heat now. That's probably for them. I guarantee you there's people in the front office who thought getting swept by the Astros is not the worst thing for us.
No, because we're not doing
it. The team isn't. I mean, the players don't think that, and the manager doesn't think that. But some people in the front office who want to sell and legitimately try to rebuild, I bet you they're like, eh, ain't the worst sweep of it. You know what would have been worse? Going 1-2 or 2-1 against the Astros. That would have been worse.
Yeah, because they'd still be in it.
Yeah.
They're out now. Beat it. Beat it, Rangers.
You can't come back from that.
Silver boot is here, Biaz.
We got the boot.
Take that.
We got the boot again. We always have the boot. Jeremy Pena in the month of July. Did you want any part of Jeremy Pena? Because he had a 1,010 OPS with a .381 batting average, 6 home runs, and 13 RBIs.
Best.
412.
I like this team. I've liked this team the whole year. I mean, the team was better than it was, than they were showing early on. I like this baseball team. I do. We'll see if they, you know, they can. I don't know how they can sustain this winning 11-12, but.
Well, that's tougher, but that's. Yeah. At least they did it.
Yeah, they're
all
doing
you needed
it.
Was one good run, and you can take over this division. Yeah, you needed one good run.
Yep. Hey, I've been on a pretty good run with Coors Lights. I mean,
it's a long run you got going there.
I got a great run going. Maybe longer, much longer than this Astros run. I mean, I'm an enthusiast.
It dates longer than the Texans have been, than our NFL football team have been in existence, right?
Yeah. No. But dates way longer than that.
Yeah.
It dates back to early NFL. Well, not early NFL per se, but, you know, but it dates back quite a while. I'm a Coors Light fan, and I want you to be too. Do you have them stocked up in your fridge? Are you ready for the football season? Are you ready for your buddies coming over? Are you ready for your fantasy draft? Are you ready? Are you ready for just a cookout in the backyard? Man, have those Coors Lights. I'm going to tell you this. You put a cooler of beer in your backyard with Coors Lights and then other beers as well. You know what's going to be gone? The Coors Lights. Every time we play in a golf tournament, it's like, man, everybody is drinking the Coors Lights. Yeah, there's other beers available. Who wants those? Everybody is taking the Coors Lights because you know why? Because it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, and that's what we need right now. This football season, what do you need? You need Coors Light. Climb on, brother. This football season is all about Coors Light. Make it a Coors Light football season.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm excited about this Coors Light football season. I'm excited about the fact that we are going to be giving away a spot in our fantasy league on Thursday. Listen, this Thursday, not sure which hour, we're going to give it away. We'll let you know. But keep on listening. We're going to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook and have our fantasy draft there. You get a $200 gift certificate for food and beverage credit. And then we're going to have dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook the night of the event. So that's going to be good. That's going to be good. So we want you there. And Houston Restaurant Week's back, happening now through September 7th. Think of it like a citywide all-star lineup, hundreds of restaurants, pre-fixed menus, and every time you eat, you help the Houston Food Bank. Dine out, do good. Check out the full lineup at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Great, great, great event. Which you can go to restaurants you normally can't go to. You can afford them, and it's a good deal had by all. Plus the Houston Food Bank benefits, so you're doing good work while you're eating. That's awesome. That is awesome. Ever since Ken Rosenthal, was it him that called them cockroaches?
Yeah,
the Astros have been, I think, undefeated. Yeah, they've had 2 sweeps in a row since he did that. So, you know, Ken, we appreciate you. I don't think they mind being called cockroaches. It's not the most flattering thing.
The Astros are the cockroaches of baseball.
They just won't go away. That's what he meant.
It's a huge compliment.
I'm sure he could have put it a different way.
What's a huge compliment? That means you can't kill him.
Yeah, you can't kill him.
He could have just said that.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, but this is more descriptive.
Unkillable.
Like nuclear cockroaches, yeah.
Yeah, they're unkillable.
Yeah, but cockroaches are vermin. Do you want vermin
well,
around?
I don't care. People think about us a certain way. It doesn't matter to me. I did my time. I've won 2 championships with this team.
You won?
As a fan of one, okay. Two, yeah. As yeah. a fan and media member, I have two. I've got rings if you need to see them.
I got
I'm
mine.
Good. You sound like a Cowboy fan.
And did you get
and they're
one?
They're heavy, too. They have some heft in them.
Hey, one of my favorite things is the Texans have signed Taki Taki. So yeah. We got that. Not only Jadeveon Clowney, Mario Edwards, but is it Sione?
Sione Taki Taki.
Sione Taki Taki.
Yeah, he's just
I mean, that's going to be fun. They've lost EJ.
Hold on a second.
They lost Jake Hansen, right?
Yes.
They lost Jake Hansen and EJ Speed.
What's up with EJ?
EJ hurt his ankle.
Wait, EJ's out for the year, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. This happened a while ago. This happened.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what happened with EJ Speed, but yeah, Jake Hansen went down. Taki Taki is just a necessity now at this point. He's not that great.
He's played for the three teams the Texans love to grab guys from. Pats, Browns, and Vikings. That exchange program.
The Browns?
Dwight Teller currently. They've had others as well from the Browns.
And who's our Vikings?
Nick Chubb they had.
Hunter. We signed Danielle Hunter, but
Ed Ingram.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they traded for Cam Robinson, and that didn't work out. Yeah. Or they signed him. They didn't trade for him. And we know the Patriots stuff. These are the three teams they love to grab people from.
Taki has some special teams ability. That's probably what this is about.
I like the name, though. I'm just going to like to see Taki Taki. That's all. That's all I want. That's all I wanted. Thank you. Thank you for that. Love that. 713-780-3776 is the number. To get in with us here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. What else did you, I mean, any other notes from when you went to camp?
No, but they do, I do like the fact that their reps are, there's some pretty good, when they're in their 11-on-11, their quote-unquote teams, you know, full teams, scrimmage, they go with intensity. This is not a three-quarter speed situation at all. It's close to 100% speed with the pass rushers and the offensive linemen. You know, you always wonder, there's no pads, but guys are going after it. There's good hand usage. A lot of what I do is just conversations with other people, because you find out about what's going on at camps and some of the things like that. And I told the story earlier. I caught up with Ed Ingram after practice, talked to him, and he just said Cole Popovich was absolutely massive in terms of helping Ed turn it around. Just said his work with technique, just everything about that was critical for Ed Ingram playing the type of football. Because it was a big surprise last year. I didn't think Ed Ingram was very good at Minnesota, and he was much better last year. And the Texans re-signed him, got more than I expected. And so they obviously think he's a pretty critical factor. But he kind of confirmed what I was mentioning, which was the addition of the run blockers that they added on the offensive line, the addition of David Montgomery, who he absolutely loves. He loves David Montgomery. He said, yeah, we're trying to reset the narrative. Coach Popovich every day talks about, we're not going to have the same narrative going on. We're going to be a running team. We're going to beat people up on the ground, and we're going to move the ball and make things easier for CJ. And that's, you know, it looked like that was the case based on the moves that Nick Caserio and D'Amico had made. Oh, and I mentioned this. I said, yeah, it looks like for the first time, literally since the first time in probably, I don't know, in probably since Bill O'Brien was here in the early stages, it's the first time since Nick Caserio has been here for sure that I see an identity with the offensive line, an identity with the run game. He said, it's interesting you say that, because Coach Ryan's talks about the fact that we have swarm on offense, and we want to get to the point where everyone sees we have swarm, not just on defense, but on offense too, which is why the addition of Keelan Rutledge was so necessary in the first round. They didn't want to take a chance on losing him in the second round, because they wanted to get that swarm guy on the offensive side in the first round on the offensive line, which is, you know, why they did that. So I think that everything you and I have talked about and Delph talked about in terms of the running game and making it easier on CJ, yeah, the making it easier on CJ thing is probably not something they're going to talk a lot about publicly, but it's clearly part of the plan is we want to run the ball to make it easier for our offense. But obviously a big beneficiary of that's going to be CJ Stroud. I thought Cade Stover looked good. Your DBs, let's see. I'm trying to think. Tommy Togiel popped a few times. Juwan Jordan had a couple of runs. There was nothing that stood out really from an individual standpoint that I can think of. But what I can say is that the offense in general was much more competitive with the defense than I saw last year. Last year it was a noticeable eyesore. It was like, oh my God, they can't do anything against this defense. This year, it's much more competitive. Now the defense is better than the offense, but this is now you're finally to a point. Last year, you remember, John, we were talking about that the defense even said, I think it was Kaylee even said this, or D'Amico even said, it's hard to get good offensive reps when your defense is that far, so much further ahead of the offense, mm-hmm. that it's like smashing their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it is more of an iron sharpens iron. I think because the offense is more competitive, now going up against a defense like that is going to make you better when the season rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iron sharpens iron situation because you're at least competitive. Last year, you weren't even competitive.
Yeah.
I it's not going to happen, but I wish we could see the number one offense play a little bit in the preseason. I wish we could see what it looks like.
Did you see Davis Mills? I heard
one good.
thrown a pick or
yeah, he threw an interception. Davis wasn't as there was one really good throw he made that I saw in there that was kind of needled in, but he had a really bad interception as well that would have been a pick six. So I didn't think David, when I was watching, I watched the play happen and then I look real quick at who the quarterback is. A lot of times I don't typically see who the quarterback is until I see if it was a good or bad play. And I looked two or three times like at plays that I thought, ooh, that's not great. And it was 10. Yeah, it was 10. Seven had one too. He had an interception. And I was like, ugh. But 10 wasn't great.
Yeah. Yep.
It wasn't great. If you get a chance to go out to open practice, I highly recommend it. It's always a good time out there. The Texans do a really good job with the music and keeping fans engaged, and the players come over and, you know, sign autographs later when they let people in. I don't know if there's games, or I've never been on that side to see what's in those little tents and the little area they have where the fans are let in, where you can go on that side, because I'm on the other side, the media side where we come in. But it was it's a good time going out to those practices. They do a really good job of keeping the energy high, and it's a lot of fun. If you haven't had a chance to go to a practice, I definitely recommend going to a practice. It's a little warm.
Do you think?
I'll warn you about that. It's lest you thought it was going to be cool in the morning, it's not.
They're in full pads. I just saw Taki Taki walking out to the field.
So they're 40, padded up week two.
Number okay. 47, full let, pads
let's
today.
Let's go.
Yep, let's go. All right, 713-780-3776. What did we miss? We will do that on the other side. But first, we're going to talk about Doc Kaplan.
Dr. Kaplan. Who is it, Carmona? I just got I'm trying to remember. He sent me a video. He was there with one of the listeners. And he said, hey, Lance, it's Dr. Kaplan, which obviously I could see him. I'm here with, I think it's Carmona. He's a listener, and he's going to get the procedure. And I was really excited to see one of you guys in there with Dr. Kaplan, because it's been great for me. Unbelievable to have this level of clear sinuses. I had the balloon sinuplasty done. I want to focus on that. I did have a deviated septum corrected, which has been a massive game changer. And he can do that for you as well. But I want to focus on the balloon sinuplasty because he's one of the pioneers. They go in with these small balloons into the nasal cavity. They can inflate them, and you're out while all this is happening. So you're not even awake. But what it does is it forces all that mucus that's been gummed up to release, and just so much comes out of there. You get really cleared up, and I'm talking about the stuff that's impacted that you can't get to no matter what you do. You can blow your nose as hard as you want. If you have constant pressure in your face or headaches or, you know, issues with your ear, nose, and throat, that can all be tied to the nasal passage. That's where they want to go in and fix it for you. And my son Alec is, we're going to pick up a time when he is, you know, comes home from Alabama, where he's going to have this procedure done, because this has been something that's bothered him for years and years, and he really wants to get it done. I highly recommend it. Dr. Michael Kaplan, a true ear, nose, and throat office. So for any of those issues, they can take care of you. But go in and get the scan, see if you're a candidate for that procedure. It's Kaplan Sinus Relief, K-A-P-L-A-N, KaplanSinusRelief.com.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so Astros sweep. They've got the Blue Jays tonight. Blue Jays are in a bad place. The Blue Jays got rid of Kevin Gausman, sent him to the Cubs. You got Shane Bieber tonight going against Christian Javier. You got Jeremy Peña, who's on a 400-game hit streak right now. He's been incredible. You got Yordan, who's by far and away. I mean, now you don't even have to argue about, well, the Astros aren't any good, so Yordan can't win it. The Astros are in first place by 2.5 games with a winning record now. So that whole... And in large part because of Yordan. So that whole...
Well, I was getting to the point anyway where it wasn't really going to matter. He was so much better than everyone else.
Yeah, right.
Like, there wasn't a legitimate contender.
There isn't anybody... Name one guy that's even... No. Ben Rice?
There's no legitimate contenders.
There's nobody. Nobody.
Not that you could... You know, if it was in the same basic category, yeah, the guy on a losing team doesn't win. There's no one even in his category right now.
Mm-mm.
And he's not... And this isn't a bunch of... hot little burst of action, and then he kind of falls off. For the first time, this is Yordan is on an extended, right? I'm not wrong there. This is the first time I remember Yordan being pretty consistently excellent. I'm going to go look at the splits. But we always knew Yordan had those times where he'd go into a funk.
Well, he I'm did not, have one.
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 And that was like 14 at-bats. Big deal, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
What is that, four games? Who cares?
Yeah, right.
We're talking about he would go into funks that would last. They usually wouldn't last more than like 10 days for Yordan.
He is so focused. You just can't get a pitch past him. And he's swinging on a lot of first pitches now, mm-hmm, this year and just crushing them.
So here he is by month, right? March, 21 at-bats, but he was .381 with an OPS of .1440. April, .351 with an OPS of .1145. May is where he hit .235. He still had eight home runs, though. He still had eight home runs, and an OPS was .872. But other than May, June was .344, OPS of .1036. July was .360, OPS of .1188. So far in August, he's 5 of 8. He's 5 of 8, so he's hitting, you know, .625, whatever, but... Everything you look at, Yordan the last 7 days, .455 with a .1373. Yordan the last 15 days, .404 with a .1291. Yordan the last 30 days, .372 with a .1225 OPS. Like, Yordan, other than May, it's just been lights out across the board. To your point about being an early swing guy, he's hitting .362 with the counts 0-0. So on the first pitch, he's hitting .362 with a .1228 OPS. And
look at him with .02. He's got a better OPS with .02 than most
true.
Of the league.
No, no, no. He's got a .560 .02 OPS. It's two strikes, I think, is what it is. Because, well, it's funny. When he's .02, he's hitting .200 with a .560 OPS. When he's 1-2, he's hitting .258 with a .749 OPS. When he's at a 2-2 count, he's hitting .311 with a .928 OPS. When it's 3-2, he's hitting 289 with 1,056 OPS. So if you're 0-2 on him, you know, he's in some trouble. If you get to 1-2, you still got a pretty good advantage, but he's still at a 749.
The two-strike thing.
Yeah, once it gets to 2-2, yeah, you can forget about it, because 2-2 and 3-2 is a big advantage in his in his favor.
Not 0-2.
3-0? Now, he's only had three at-bats where he's swung at 3-0, so he's usually taking. But a 2-1 count, he's hitting 320. But his OPS is only 746. It's interesting. There's some very definitive counts that Yordan loves, that he absolutely loves. And primarily, most of the damage he does is at first, either at 0-0, the first pitch, at a 1-0 count, or at a 1-1 count. That's where his primary damage comes from. It's kind of interesting. Now, at 2-2, he's got 7 home runs with a 2-2 count. First pitch, 7 home runs with first pitch as well. You just don't find a way batting against left-handers and right-handers. What is it? And this is stuff that you see on the broadcast, but against right-handers, he's hitting 350 with 1163. Against lefties, which he's usually good at lefties, he's not as good as usual this year. And yet he's 275 with an OPS of 893. Astro players would kill for an OPS of 893 in general. And he does that just against lefties.
Yeah. What did we miss today, Del?
We actually did miss some stuff today, Del.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Do you have any?
He said didn't miss anything.
Well, we did miss some things. Like, there's a new rule, football camps, the National Athletic Trainers Association and State High Schools Association urge coaches to adopt a preventative tactics to exclude linemen from mile runs, serial sprints, and other preseason performance testing during the first few weeks of the season. I know some people are going to say, that's soft, but the organizations are calling for that to prevent heat stroke, because offensive and defensive linemen make up 90% of the heat stroke deaths in high school and college football.
Mm-hmm.
And 37% of football's heat stroke related deaths are specifically tied to exertion drills as punishments early in the season. Two 14-year-old high school linemen died in Arkansas and Louisiana over the past couple months. They were hospitalized. So, this is something that is – I know we have a lot of high school coaches that listen, or high school parents. That's something that you may see implemented.
Yeah, that's smart. They ain't running a mile on the field.
Uh-uh. Now, you can take your ass into the gym for some sprints. If you want to punish them, take them into the basketball gym and run.
Mm-hmm. Well, not even that.
Why not? They said because of the heat. Big man can get punished. They're saying it's tied to the heat. I don't think they're saying that they can't ever get punished for that they can't run sprints. Now, there are a lot
of
guys.
We're not punishing these young men. We're making them stronger.
That's right. No, don't make them stronger. Let them block people. Okay, they ain't running a mile. They don't have to run a mile. They're big. They're heavy. They don't need that out in the heat. Okay, they don't need any of that.
How do you build stamina to continue to play for four quarters? I'm actually asking. If
you're
not going
to
run, what are you going to do?
No, you have to run. I think they're saying punishment-related running, which would be extra running. You just probably need to be careful.
No, the first
heat.
2 weeks of practice, you run. Well, first of all, every year we started with a mile. Everybody had to run a mile
right to
start the season.
But your linemen were
hottest
probably
day
like
of the year,
240.
That's what I'm saying. Those guys did have to, though.
Well, I don't think there's anything look, the high school season's starting up pretty soon. My brother went to camp I guess today is the first day. They got games coming up. There is going to have to be conditioning. You just have to be smart with it. Like, they're not saying you can't run. I think they were saying punishment-based running. But after practice, you got to run. I mean, you just have to be careful about the heat stuff. The feels like, when it feels like 116, feels like yesterday was kind of cool. It was feels like 101. It was weird. It was 99 degrees, feels like 101, which meant the dew point was low. And it still sucked. But you do have to run some. You got to get in condition. Go get in a basketball gym and run sprints or run horses or whatever you do. But you do have to get ready for the season. We're 3 weeks away, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't have to run.
They don't have to? I thought they had to.
They do.
How are they going to get in shape?
They shouldn't run. Don't make them run. They big fat linemen, they're going to fall over.
How do you get in shape?
Well, then you practice. You keep practicing and practicing.
So you want longer practices but less running.
Listen, there's no football benefit from running a mile. And we had to
I didn't say anything. We don't have to run miles. We do.
There's conditioning work that conditioning, you benefit from. Especially being ready in this heat. The conditioning is pretty important. I would do my running inside in the gym if you needed to. If you're working out late in the afternoon, I would run in a gym, but you need to get your conditioning in. There's no way around that.
You don't want to be
falling out.
Even
big boys need conditioning work. In fact, they need it sometimes worse.
You want to be able to impose your will in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we're trying to swarm, John. What are you trying to do?
Soft offensive lineman. He wants it for Kalen Rutledge, but he would rather have soft offensive lineman in high school.
Those old air raid offensive linemen who just tried to stay in your
way.
We run block.
That's what we do. And we drive you into the ground.
You got to be in shape to run block.
We were Rutledges. We run you into the ground.
You don't think Rutledge runs?
Drive block, baby.
Rutledge is running.
That's right.
That's what we're saying, then. You got to run.
No, Rutledge ain't running. He ain't running no mile out there today.
He's running sprints.
Get out of here.
Actually, I've never seen the Texans. I have seen the Texans run for punishment, but not a lot. Not a lot. I think they're expected to do it. You know, they run on treadmills, these super nice treadmills, those curved treadmills or in the water or whatever. They're on the nicest stuff getting their conditioning work in. They get conditioning work in. Don't worry about that, though.
No, they will. All right. So that's it. We didn't miss anything, Del?
You probably did, but who cares?
You don't care. You see, you know, just
probably
just
something WNBA has.
Yeah, something that's just going to delay the show, and then you're gonna blame me because you go like to 10:05.
Well, there was a Kevin Durant. Did you see what Kevin Durant said?
What KD say?
That Reed Shepard can't play in the league is what he said.
Wait.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
All right, we'll hear it on the other side. We'll hear it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. But first, champion.energy/1560. champion.energy/1560. It's where you get your electricity on. How much is your bill? Are you spending too much? If you haven't looked at it lately, you're looking at your bill and you're going, holy crap, look at this. This is incredible. I'm telling you, I saved tens of thousands of dollars because of Champion Energy. Over the years, and I was with them for, I don't know, 18 years while I was in Houston, it was incredible. I mean, immediately I had savings. I heard all these horror stories about you other guys at your other places. Stop already. You know what? Save money. champion.energy/1560. Never had a problem. Loved what they did. You'll love them too. champion.energy/1560.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
You guys like to work out? You like to go to the gym and work out? Lance?
What'd you
Del?
Say? We just put our headphones on. What'd you say?
Do you like to go to the gym and work out?
Yeah. Gotta go
you
to
do?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you ever get gym penis?
Excuse me?
Apparently, this is a thing. Apparently, if you go, it's called, Jim D.
Okay.
And there is a nurse practitioner that says, many men experience some degree of temporary retraction while working out. But the amount varies dramatically. Some barely notice it. Others may feel like they are turtling. Do you ever turtle at the gym?
I've never experienced that. No, I've never thought about it, never experienced that. No, I don't.
No?
That's not really a thing, no.
Okay.
I really honestly didn't know this is a thing.
This is apparently a thing. Del, you like to work out?
Del, you got to answer the question too, apparently.
No?
He's not listening. You were going to play KD.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can. Okay. Here is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant says this, and it may be a direct reference to after watching Reed Shepard for a year. Here's what Kevin Durant had to say.
I don't know if the 6'2 and under guard is at a premium no more as a starter. Maybe as a backup.
Yep.
You can't get picked on defense. That's the thing, because we play in such a pick on game that they will really, literally, if you can't guard, they will bring you up every play.
Time. Yeah.
And every 6 foot, 6'1", and you're not a bulldog like a Davion Mitchell, Drew Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side, or you're not an offensive, flat-out savant like Kyrie, where you can score on dudes 7 feet easily in ISO, then I just can't see it. Nowadays, offenses are giving the ball to their best player. I don't care if you're 6'9", 6'10". If you're out on that perimeter, Paolo up there, bring up Darius Garland. Mm-hmm. And those guards at that size, it's going to be tough.
Because now five guys outside the three-point line.
Exactly.
If he played 10, 15 years ago and beyond, six out of ten dudes are inside the three-point line. You got help right there.
That makes defense easier for everybody. It's harder for some of the best defenders to guard up with all of this space.
That does feel like he's talking about Reed.
I mean, he's 6'2 and shorter.
You'll get picked on defensively. Like, that checks out.
I mean, I just, after watching Reed for a year, he's like, I don't know if guys 6'2 can play anymore, if you want to know
now,
the truth.
Some context. This was said over a year ago.
Oh, it was? Well,
this
still rings true.
It still applies to Reed Shepard, he had not played with Reed at the time that he said it.
All right. Did you know that Kevin Durant is second over some time periods? I forget what it was. There's maybe the last decade or so. Only Draymond has more three-point blocked shots than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is second in block shots.
So blocking a three-point shot,
blocking a three-point shot. And the number was pretty high, actually.
Yeah, Draymond will. I can see Draymond going and challenging everything. That sounds about right.
Yeah, no, he's out there. I can see him blocking it. But Kevin Durant, as long as he is and he's out there on the perimeter, he was second. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Dell didn't want to answer my other question. All right. An L.A. County College pitcher survives a snake bite after 34 doses of anti-venom. 34 doses of anti-venom.
That's how much you needed?
Oh, my God. He said, I got blindsided by the snake, which was right at the turn. He was running in the wilderness trail with his dog, and he got bit. He said it obviously hurt, but it took 34. Do you think? I think I'd rather just. You know what? We're just going to call it. We're just going to
take. You're just going to take. Just going to take the L there.
I'll take the L. I'm going to take the L. Yep.
Wow.
34 doses of venom. Yeah.
It worked though.
Well. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, 34 is a lot. Is that like 34 shots? You have to get 34 shots.
34.
Can you get three doses in one needle?
Oh, my God.
You have to just keep... When did they say, keep going, more. How does that work? And what kind of snake was it?
I don't know, but it was a badass snake. If you needed 34, for F's sake, don't... This is the problem. Here's the problem I'm having.
I hate snakes.
Why are you out running?
You know, this
there
idea
you go
that,
again.
Well, God's creation. They're a creation of the ecosystem, and without snakes, nothing. Kill every snake you see.
Go and listen. I've been watching a lot of snakes. I've watched snakes versus cats. Cats win every time.
There's a snakes versus cats.
Well, yeah, but panthers caracals.
Like real cats. Like not cats. But,
how about giant cobras against them?
Yeah, but cobras lose way more than I see them win. I'm shocked.
I mean, I even saw a serval that was small, and it beat a cat.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know the last time I saw a cobra win a battle on a YouTube video.
No, they lose every time.
They lose. They're like the Washington Generals of snakes. They lose all the freaking time.
Yeah, they do.
Cobras get their asses kicked constantly, and they're the scariest of the snakes.
And yet, cats beat their ass.
Cobras look at boa constrictors like Mississippi State looks at Georgia. They'll chant SEC, but really it's the boa constrictors getting all the work. And the Cobra ain't doing a damn thing, but they'll take on the mantle of snakes are dangerous. Cobra's soft ass.
I know. Cobra's like.
Cobras. That's all they got is that, like.
Strike that far out. I see. Cobras get handled by little children in India. Little children in India take W's over cobras. They just snatch cobras up and throw them around.
Yeah, they got the little.
Walk around like they're not even scared.
They got the little the hood that scares you, but really, ain't nothing scary about a cobra.
No, the cobras are the weakest of the snakes.
I want to see you head face up against a. All right, let's go.
You dangerous snake, Black Mamba. That's what
Cobra
chose.
That's what we're talking about. But the cobra, get out of here. Get out of here, cobra. You're the bottom of the snake totem pole.
Soft ass snakes.
I'm going to tell you
what. But you won't say it to a rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake is a badass, too. Rattlesnake's badass. Rattlesnake will mess you up. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
There's not all snakes are soft. The cobra is just unusually takes so many losses for being.
It takes a lot of L's. No question. We're done. Mopey and Mapes are next right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.